ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around telling him he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. The two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Everybody, welcome to the Span Report podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span, and this is episode number 123 of the report. And yeah, we rocking out with this Tony man. Y'all, this is Mr. Span here with episode 123 of the Span Report. It's been a week since I talked to y'all, man. Real talk. And shout out to everybody who downloaded the Throwback Thursday episode of episode 11 of the Span Report, man. That may be something that I do pretty regularly now, you know, like in case I may not necessarily be able to do a show or something like that. I always have something for you guys to listen to, and I've been doing this long enough to where I got like an archive of shit, right? So, yeah, we're gonna talk about a lot of stuff today, man. We're going to talk about the Olympics. They started last night. The opening ceremony started last night. We also have the University of Michigan has Brand Jordan. They have a Brand Jordan endorsement going on, man. So we're going to talk briefly about that, man. Of course, I'm going to talk about what's going on with Corinne Gaines, man, and that whole story and how I feel about it and why I believe niggas have completely lost their fucking minds when it concerns this story. And also, man, I got some listener feedback. I got a lot of shit. I mean, there's a lot of stuff to get, you know, to cover over the course of this show, man. But before I get into all of that, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report Podcast and let your voice be heard, man. You can hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave me those voicemail messages. I'll play those messages here on the show and respond in kind. You can also email the show here at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave me those email messages. Of course, I'll read those messages here on the show and respond to you here as well. You can also hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms, of course, is Mr. Underscore Span. So go ahead, chop it up with me on those platforms, man. And for all of your Facebook, well, I'm sorry. If you want to watch these shows live, I'm sorry. If you want to watch these shows live, man, go ahead and like the Mr. Span fan page. Like the fan page. Get notified when this show goes live. I'm telling you, man, really, I'm trying to make the live show the best way to check out the Span Report, man. Real talk. I'm really trying to put in the work to make sure that when I do this show live, that you guys get a pretty good show when we do this, right? And for all of your Span Report needs, man, go to www.thespanreport.com. All of the podcasts are available there. All of the videos associated with the podcast are available there. You can vote in the polls over at the website. You can comment on episodes over at the website. You can do all of this, do everything, man. You can donate to the show, man. For all of you guys who want to donate to the show, go to thespanreport.com, hit the donate tab, and whatever you can give is appreciated. And you can give as much as you want, how often as you want, and we appreciate that very much here at the Span Report, man. Real talk. And not only that, hold on, where is it? Uh-oh, I don't know what I did with it. Oh, here we go. Okay, here we go, yeah. You can get your Span Report t-shirts, man. Go to teespring.com, that's www.teespring.com/thespanreport, and you can get your very own official Span Report t-shirts, man. I'm waiting for mine to show up. Like, I'm really excited about the t-shirts, man. I got a couple here, but they are not the design that you guys will be getting when you receive your shirts. And I know a few people have already gone ahead and they've ordered their shirts. This campaign goes on until August 12th. So you can order your shirts right now up until August 12th. They're $22.99 for a shirt. And I think they're great, man. Of course, I think they're great. They're my shirts, right? They're like, but if you're a fan of the show and if you want to let people know that you're rocking with the Span Report here, man, what better way to let folks know that you're rocking with us here at the Span Report by getting your official Span Report podcast t-shirt, man? Real talk. I appreciate anybody and everybody who goes ahead and orders themselves an official Span Report podcast t-shirt, man. I can't wait till I get mine. And of course, I can't wait till I see pictures of you guys rocking yours as well, man. That'll be real dope, right? Right. So, yeah, man, go to www.teespring.com/thespanreport and you can get your official Span Report podcast t-shirts, man. Real talk. Yeah, man. So, it's been a week. And of course, you know, I started this show with Tony anniversary. And did you guys know that the radio edit, I mean, not the radio edit, but the album version of that song was damn near 10 minutes long? That's a long damn song, man. I've never listened to that song to its entirety on the album version. I probably should have, like, I should get familiar with the radio cut, right? But yeah, man, that song is 9 minutes and 24 seconds long. That's a really long song. Excuse me. But yeah, there's a reason for that, right? My anniversary with my wife, we're coming up on our first year anniversary. That's coming up. August 9th will be 1 year of wedded bliss for me and my wife. So I'm celebrating that. But not only that, I won't be able to do a show next week because, yeah, we're going to be celebrating that anniversary, right? So we're going to be in New Orleans next week for that Red Dress Run and everything. And, you know, it's actually where we got married. So it's going to be a fun time. It's going to be a fun time while we're doing that there. And I can't wait for that. And, of course, because I'm going to be there, I won't be here next week to do the Span Report. So this will be the last show. And of course, I'm going to have a Throwback Thursday episode or something like that for you guys before I leave. But yeah, man, I'm going to be down there celebrating our anniversary, man. And it's going to be a fun time. I have fun every time I go to New Orleans. Shout out to everybody who listens to the Span Report, who is from the New Orleans area or Louisiana, man. I have a damn good time every time I go. And yeah, man, we're going to do that again this year. So it's been 1 year, man. 1 year since your man Span has been married, right? But outside of that, man, I've been just, you know, kind of doing my thing, man, going to work, you know, working outside and being the point man on a lot of projects. You know, I did a three-meter manifold backfeed project yesterday. Yeah, I get stuck with that. That sounds almost like some Olympic gymnastics kind of shit, right? And it is like a lot of work to do a lot of that stuff. And I know you probably aren't necessarily familiar with what the fuck I'm talking about when I talk about a 3-meter manifold backfeed job. But for all of my plumbers and my pipe fitters, man, I'm pretty sure y'all know exactly what the fuck it is I'm talking about, right? But I got some random thoughts, right? I got some random thoughts. These are some things that kind of happened over the course of the week that I wanted to speak to. It's not a whole lot of things, man. Just some things that I kind of wanted to speak to over the course of the week. And the first thing that kind of came up was the fact that the University of Michigan, right, have signed an endorsement deal with Brand Jordan, right? So basically all of the athletic teams associated with, like, I think the basketball team and the football team primarily will be wearing Brand Jordan branded clothing, right, while they're performing, you know, while they're playing the games. And I get the basketball, you know, aspect of it. Of course, like, Michigan could have signed the deal with Nike where, like, the basketball team wore Brand Jordan and the football team wore Nike, and that would have been cool. But no, the football team at the University of Michigan is going to be wearing Brand Jordan clothing, right? And the funny thing about that is, of course, the oddness of the fact that, you know, the University of Michigan or the football team will be rocking basketball branded. They'll have like a basketball brand on their football uniforms. But the fact that what's going to happen is this, man. A lot of folks are going to want to buy University of Michigan gear simply because it's Brand Jordan now. Brand Jordan has gotten the cachet of a pretty premium brand now, right? Everybody loses their mind when Jordans drop. You know, it's going to be one of those things where, like, it's going to help with recruiting. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be a lot of football players who are going to like the fact that the University of Michigan wears Brand Jordan as part of their equipment. So they're going to have J's. Like, they're going to get free J's just if they come to Michigan, right? So that's going to be a thing. But you know what I was thinking when it comes to, like, these types of brand endorsements? You know, like, sometimes the NBA, I remember back in the day, the NBA used to let teams outfit themselves, right? And I wonder if they're going to ever go back to that. But wouldn't it be like, I was wondering, like, if they did that, if the Pistons would have an endorsement deal with Brand Jordan, right? And by doing that, all of a sudden, a lot of Detroit people will start to pretend that they actually like the Pistons again. Uh-oh. Now, listen, man, I know a lot of y'all who live in Detroit. Y'all act like y'all like the Pistons. Y'all don't like the fucking Pistons. Y'all hop on every motherfucking bandwagon there is. I live amongst y'all. I know. Y'all don't like the fucking Pistons. It may have something to do with the fact that the Pistons don't actually play in Detroit. They play in Auburn Hills, which is like a half hour away from Detroit. But a lot of Detroit people don't really rock with the Pistons like that. I see y'all. I watch y'all. Y'all don't really fuck with them like that. As much as y'all would try to put on that front when they winning, I see y'all when they ain't really doing a whole hell of a lot, right? So, if they got Brand Jordan, if they got Brand Jordan endorsed clothing or branded clothing, I'm pretty sure there's going to be a whole lot of Detroit Pistons fans rocking Pistons shit, ironically, because a former Chicago Bull embraced their shit and branded their clothing, man, real talk. That was just something random. Something that I was kind of thinking about, man. A little shot at the Pistons, because fuck y'all, right? Another thing, too, man, that kind of happened over the course of the week. I was reading the Washington Post. I saw an article that was disseminated out of the Washington Post. And there was a story of a study. There was a new study that came out that said that men are often their own favorite experts on any given subject. Right. And the one question that I had when I read this article was, why ain't they call me? Right. Like, I could have told them that I'm an expert on this shit. They could have called me. They could have gave me that money. I'm an expert on knowing that it's perfectly fucking obvious that most men tend to think that we are the experts on any fucking thing. Have you ever watched dudes around, like, at a barbecue or something, like, talk about how the best way to get around the city and shit? They start naming, like, their little shortcuts and shit when they try to get around certain traffic jams or whatever, or they try to tell you how to barbecue, or they try to tell you what phone you should use and how you should use it and all these other things, man. It's one of those things, man, when it comes to dudes, where we feel like we know everything. I'm guilty of this shit, and I'm pretty sure a lot of the fellas that I know are guilty of this, too. We are our favorite experts on everything, right? So it was amazing to me that somebody actually got paid to come up with a study to give us an answer that was pretty much obvious as hell, and I'm mad I wasn't getting in on that money, man, real talk. But, yeah, man. Another thing, man, like, let's see, the Olympics started, right? And, you know, with the Olympics, I am a big fan of the Olympics. I always look forward to the Summer Games. I'm not really, like, into the Winter Games, man. Like, that shit's, like, the Winter Games, like, I just kind of, nah, man. Like, it ain't a whole lot of black folks competing in the Winter Games, and rightfully so. And because, yeah, it's just a lot of shit with the Winter Games. I'm just like, eh, whatever. But the Summer Games is my shit. And I always look forward to, like, watching the opening ceremonies and the Parade of Nations and stuff. And, like, I remember the Beijing Olympics in 2008. Like, those opening ceremonies were dope as shit, right? Like, they spent a lot of money over there in China to, you know, to pull that production off. And, you know, it's always, like, kind of cool to, like, see how they tell this story, right? Like, I'm not really into, like, Broadway or anything like that, but I'm always intrigued and I'm always interested and I'm always amazed by the way in which they present these stories and open these games. It's always a really, you know, like, it's just dope, man. Like, I just find it sweet. Like, I just like it, right? But I was trying to watch that shit last night on NBC. And I gotta say, man, NBC, y'all dropped the fucking ball, man. Like, first of all, they started the shit off with a tape delay. So, like, I'm on Twitter and I'm like, I want to live tweet these opening ceremonies, only to find out that in other parts of the world, people are already live tweeting the shit and the damn thing then already started, right? So we get an hour delay here in the United States when it came to those opening ceremonies, which didn't really make a whole hell of a lot of sense, considering that, like, you know, South America and, like, North America, we kind of, like, in the same hemisphere. It wasn't as if, like, the time difference was going to be a whole hell of a lot of, like that was going to keep us from seeing things in a time sink or whatever. But for whatever reason, NBC decided, like, nah, we're gonna push this back an hour so we can get the shit in prime time, right? Whatever. But the point that the shit that really started pissing me off was, like, every 5 fucking minutes they were going to commercial. Like, every 5 minutes we see a little bit and then they want to sell me some Tide. We see a little bit, and they want to sell me a Honda Ridgeline truck. We see a little bit, and there's a Menards commercial. And it's like, come on, man. Can we fit the fucking Olympic Games in between these commercials? Can we do that, NBC? And I'm like, I wonder if, like, for whatever reason, like, they aren't necessarily aware that our viewing habits as Americans have been a bit changed, right? We are so used to seeing things on demand and live, you know, tweeting with the world, or live, you know, making status updates on Facebook with the world too. We're all watching this together, and they're, like, kind of fucking up that whole process, right? And I was wondering, man, when the Olympics come back, I believe, for, like, 2020, for the Summer Games, like, will it get to a point where we can just say, you know what, man, fuck y'all and y'all commercials. We can live stream this on, like, a service like Hulu or Netflix or whatever, where we don't have to deal with that shit. Like, I pay an extra $3 a month on Hulu so I don't have to see commercials. I would do the exact same thing for this. I don't give a fuck about your commercials, man. Like, it's not like the Super Bowl where you showing me something new. These are the same commercials that you show me every fucking day. So can I watch these Olympic opening ceremonies and not be inundated with the mundane commentary of Matt Lauer and Hoda Kotb and Meredith Vieira? Like, could you not? Y'all fuck that up for your boy. Y'all fuck that up. And I know that sounds like some first world problems like hell. But I was looking at that, and I was just getting irritated as fuck. I turned the channel, man. I just stopped watching. It got to a point where I just got fed up, and I just stopped watching. And I like the opening ceremonies of the Olympic Games, man. I really do. I do. So, but one thing about those Olympic Games, man, is I always like kind of reminiscing about, like, some of the things that we see during those games, right? And so, like, one of my most favorite memories of those Olympic Games was not only watching Usain Bolt, you know, win the world record, and like those 100-meter dashes, man, are fucking awesome. And Usain Bolt is the fastest man in alive right now. That's always one of the highlights. But my favorite right now, my favorite all time Olympic memory is none other than Vince Carter jumping over that 7-foot French dude in the 2000 Olympic, the 2000 Olympic Games in Sydney. Check this out, man. I gotta let you guys watch this with me. Check this out.
Bonetto gets up with a sloppy pass. Carter inside. Oh! And the crowd, because the overwhelming favorite, but they love when this stuff happens.
That's why I said, now a smile and the energy and the crowd, you know, the palm of your hand. I mean, they just want to love Vince Carter here. This guy has so much talent. Just look at this spectacular takeoff. He jumped over his head. I mean, Frederick Weiss, you got to know, man, a guy's coming to do that, you got to take a bow.
That's like something that was set up in a slam dunk contest.
Look at this. He scissored over his head. It's almost like, where did he go? My goodness gracious. Vince Carter, the slam dunk champ. More importantly that, a guy who now is becoming a great all-round player. The great steal. Wow.
All right. All right, man. So, yeah, man, I enjoy things like that. I really do. I enjoy watching things like that, man. And can you guys believe it's been 16 years? 16 years since Vince Carter pulled that dunk off, man. We getting old, G. Like, that was before my daughter was born. We getting old, man. If you remember that, you getting old, man. Real talk. But yeah, man. You know, that's those are one of like my favorite Olympic memories, man. Another thing too, man, like watching the Olympics back in the day, it used to be a thing where they would always, for whatever reason, like if you were watching a gymnastics competition or whatever, like it would be some shit that happened on another apparatus, and they would make sure that they broke away from the apparatus that you were watching to show you that somebody fell, right? Somebody bust their ass. You'd be like, you know what? We've had a fall on the balance beam. Huge deduction over there. And then they would make a break, and then they would come back and they would show you the fall like 2 minutes later after a commercial, and then they show you the fall, and like somebody would be like on the balance beam and they bust a flip, and then they would lose their footing and fuck themselves up. I remember, what was it? I want to say it was like the 96 games, man, like when it was in Atlanta. It was the 96 Olympic Games. And yeah, they used to do that all the time, man. Like somebody would fall on a balance beam or like the uneven bars or some shit like that. And they would make sure to have that video available for you. And you could see somebody got fucked up trying to pull off something amazing, man. It was always, that was one of my always favorite Olympic memories. Another thing, though, another thing about these Olympics, man, I'm a little disappointed. I'm a little disappointed in the fact that the Olympics are not in Chicago. Now, I know I'm a minority in this because all my people in Chicago seem to have issues with the fact that they don't have any desire whatsoever to see the Olympic Games in the Chi. And I remember when they were picking the cities for this Olympic Games, Chicago was one of the cities that was a finalist, right? And we were like the first motherfuckers they let go. And I was just like, I was mad at that. I wanted to be able to, like, say, for instance, I'm looking at this in 2000, like, I believe they picked it in 2009, but I was like, yo, man, I could take my daughter to my hometown, man, and we can go to an opening ceremonies, we could probably catch a basketball game with one of the dream, you know, watch the dream team, we can watch the 100 meter, you know, the 100 yard meter dash or whatever with an athlete like a Usain Bolt or a, I don't even know who else is running now. You know, but the point being, though, is like I looked at it as if like it's usually like a once in a lifetime opportunity, especially to have the Olympic Games come to your hometown and be able to go to those Olympics in your hometown. Like I was looking forward to that opportunity. And so, yeah, I'm a little salty that Rio got it. Now, funny thing is, Rio has it. And we've heard all these different problems that are going on in Rio, like with the Zika virus and with human bodies turning up on the beaches and shit, and they got bacteria in the water, so it's not safe for a lot, you know, for a lot of swimmers in the water. They got to be pumped up full of drugs in order to fight these the bacteria in the water. And then you got the living quarters that were unsafe. I think they said the Australian national team went to go see about their living quarters in the Olympic Village, and it was nasty. Like, they had sewage and water like flowing on the walls, and like electrical outlets that were short circuiting and shit. It was like, yo, we can't stay here, bruh. Like, it was so many different problems that are coming out of Rio. And I don't know if it's something that has to do with the fact that maybe because we're in America and we're trying to, you know, they're giving us a lot of propaganda. Like, yeah, see, they should have gave it to us. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. But I was disappointed in the fact that it wasn't going to be in Chicago this year. I really would have loved for it to have been in Chicago, simply because I would have liked the opportunity to take my daughter to go see some of that stuff and participate in some of that. I thought that would have been really dope. And hopefully, somewhere in America, we'll get another opportunity before I die and before my daughter's too old and everything else, where we can go to an Olympic Games and we can share that. That's something that I've always liked. And yeah, man, they should have chose Chicago, right? They should have chose Chicago. But you know what, man? Outside of all of that, I do have an unpopular black opinion. Yes, indeed, right? So, I am one of those people, and this might fuck y'all up, I am one of those people who never really liked Missy Elliott's music. I never got the appeal, man. I remember when Missy Elliott first came out, and I believe like that song The Rain was like really popular back in the day, and she did the video where she was like dancing around in a garbage bag and shit, and I was just like, I didn't get it. I didn't get it, not whatsoever at all. Like, I didn't get it. I didn't like the whole camp. Like, I take that back. It wasn't that I didn't like the whole camp. I didn't like the fact that there was Timbaland and Magoo, and I didn't like the fact that Missy was so talented that she didn't tell Timbaland not to make a record with Magoo, and that she didn't tell Timbaland that, you know what, man, maybe rapping ain't your thing. You should stick behind them boards and give us these dope ass beats. How about that, right? But I never really got the whole Missy thing. Like, even when Missy, like, came up and she performed with Katy Perry at the Super Bowl and everybody was, like, losing their shit, I was like, eh. Right? And, I don't know what it is, man. Like, I've never really been, like, a Missy fan. And I know it's, like, not the most popular thing in the world to say. But I've never really necessarily been a fan of Missy. Like, I've been seeing folks talk about, like, their most favorite rapper and their most overrated rapper and their most underrated rapper. I would put Missy as one of those people who was kind of underrated. I mean, I'm sorry, overrated, at least to me. But, yeah, man. Missy Elliott, not necessarily my favorite. I get that a lot of folks like her. But for unpopular black opinion purposes alone, Missy Elliott kind of overrated, man. Real talk. That's how I feel. What's up, Tito? How you doing, man? But yeah, man, it's time for some other things too, man. I don't know if you guys have heard this or not, but there was a story earlier in the week where a woman was text messaging I wouldn't necessarily call him a young man, but it was an older couple texting each other, sort of sexting each other, right? And the lady who was involved in this conversation accidentally adds her daughter to the conversation, right? So it kind of made me wonder about whether or not, you know, how many of us have actually kind of caught our parents in the throes of, like, either the sexy time or, like, kind of caught them, like, flirting or doing some shit and it grossed you completely the fuck out? So I got this poll on thespanreport.com, man, and it's basically asking, have you ever caught your parents in the middle of the sexy time, man? Real talk. But outside of that, what I really want to talk to you guys about is these text messages that these people sent, these older folks sent. Now, we don't have a name for those who are involved in this conversation. We really don't. But we do have some pseudonyms. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to say that the lady's name is Sharon. And I'm also going to say that the dude who was involved in this conversation, we're going to call him Hank. So we got a conversation between Hank and Sharon. Hold on, why is Google trying to get me to take a fucking survey right in the middle of this? No, leave me alone. All right? Now, where are they? Here we go. Okay. Now, this starts off with Hank complimenting Sharon on her boobs, right? So hold on, we got to set the mood, right? Hold on, we got to set the mood, right? Let's make sure we getting it all the way down. Yeah, baby. Sexy time. All right. Now, Sharon is on the beach, and she's texting Hank. And she says to Hank, she says, "New Tank, living the life." And Hank responds to her, and Hank says, "Nice, you look great, Sharon." And she says, "Thanks. Beach hair, no makeup on." She's excited, right? And Hank like, "Yeah, nice boobies." "Oh, thanks. No bra on either." "Very nice, perfect size and everything," Hank says. "I love it. I bet they're pretty." Yeah, Hank is liking the boobs, man. Real talk. Hank is liking the boobs. Now, Sharon is, you know, she's flattered by this whole thing. She says, "Thanks. I'm blushing. I've lost a little weight. Well, maybe for my age. And they're 38D. And Hank says, "You look great." And Sharon says, "When I was thinner, I was a 36D. And she says, "Thanks, but I'm 66. Because he said she looked great, right? And Hank's like, "Hubba hubba. I'm 64 over here, baby. You like older women?" Sharon says. And this is when it starts getting a little freaky. As Hank writes in and says, "I'm still going strong, baby, in the plumbing department." She just turned 66 in May. "I just turned 66 in May." And Hank responds and says, "Yes, I love older women. Oh, baby, baby, bring it on. I have a very high sex drive." And Sharon says, that's those good Italian genes. So these people are white, if you were guessing the race. And Sharon says, "So do I, even though it's been a while." And then Hank goes on and says, he said, "If you come here, Sharon, forget about going out for a couple days." And she laughs and she says, "Really?" And he says, "We'll have great fun." Sharon says, "You know it, baby. You a bad boy." And he says, "Oh, yes." And Sharon says, "I'm almost a virgin again. It's been so long." Now, while all of this is going on, Sharon's daughter is reading this shit. She's a part of this text conversation. And, yeah. Heron and Shank. Heron and Shank. Shank. God damn it. Sharon and Hank. Sharon and Hank are out here trying to get it on, man. 66 and 64, respectively. I'm pretty sure Hank is on that horny goat weed, and Sharon probably has a KY, his and hers jelly, in the nightstand, ready for action, ready to get it popping. And it made me think, man, how many of us have caught our parents in the throes of it, or caught our parents getting ready to do it, and we were traumatized by that experience? So go ahead on thespanreport.com. I got a poll up right now, and tell me, how many of us have caught our parents in the middle of some of that shit, man? I know it's a disgusting thought, but we all got here some kind of way, right? So, yeah, man, go to thespanreport.com, www.thespanreport.com. Go click this episode, and, yeah, that poll is there. You can vote in that poll, and you can also comment on that poll as well, man. But shout out to Shank and Heron. Sharon and Hank for still getting it on at 66 and 64, man. Real talk. Shout out to them for getting their hanky panky on, man. Real talk. Sexy time. All right. Now, yeah, man. I know that's kind of weird, but I want to switch to something a bit more serious, man. There was news that the state of North Carolina, there was news that the state of North Carolina was actively trying to disenfranchise black voters, right? And the smoking gun was the fact that they targeted these black voters because they were typically voting for Democratic candidates. It was the Republican Party in North Carolina. And they had, as a matter of fact, why am I bullshitting? Let me go ahead and let me pull this story up. I believe it was in the Washington Post. The Washington Post been coming through in the clutch, man. Real talk. But let me pull this up for you guys so I can make sure that I'm citing these sources correctly. Here we go. All right. So in the Washington Post, come on. Okay. In the Washington Post, the story reads, today a federal court struck down North Carolina's voter ID law, one of the strictest in the nation. In addition to requiring residents to show identification before they can cast a ballot, the law also eliminated same-day voter registration, eliminated 7 days of early voting, and put an end to out-of-precinct voting. The federal court ruling reinstates these provisions for now. Supporter of the law, like North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory, have long maintained that requirements like these are necessary to prevent voter fraud. But time and time again, scholars and legal experts have found that that type of fraud that these laws are meant to combat are largely non-existent. One of the most comprehensive studies on the subject found that only 31 individual cases of voter impersonation out of more than 1 billion votes cast in the United States since the year 2000. Did I read that correctly? One of the most comprehensive studies on the subject found only 31 individual cases of voter impersonation out of more than 1 billion votes cast in the United States since the year 2000. Okay. The federal court in Richmond found that the primary purpose of North Carolina's wasn't to stop voter fraud, but to disenfranchise minority voters. The judges found that the provisions target African Americans with almost surgical precision. In particular, the court found that North Carolina lawmakers requested data on racial differences in voting behaviors in the state. This data showed that African Americans disproportionately lack the most common kind of photo ID, those issued by the Department of Motor Vehicles. So the legislators made it so that the only acceptable forms of voter identification were those were the ones that disproportionately used by white people. With race data in hand, the legislator amended the bill to exclude many of the alternative photo IDs used by African Americans. The judges wrote the bill retained only the kinds of IDs that white North Carolinians were more likely to possess. Now, here's an instance of where we see that these voter ID laws, which are passed on a lot of states across the country, primarily in the South, unfortunately, where they're trying to get black folks purged from the rolls. And it makes you think back to how they used to have poll taxes and that they used to have literacy tests in order for you to be eligible to vote, especially when it came to African-American voters, right? And it's an instance where in a time where, like, especially in a time of today where we're faced with a choice, especially for president, with Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, where purging black folks from the rolls of the voting rolls in a time where Donald Trump is polling damn near at 1% of African-American support for president, and seeing how this is playing out, it makes you wonder, for all these stupid motherfuckers who try to tell you that your vote don't count for shit, it makes you wonder that if your vote didn't count for anything, then why they're trying so hard? Why are they trying so hard to keep you from being able to vote? It makes absolutely no sense. Why are they trying to take that vote away from you? Another instance of voter ID and voter harassment was in Georgia, right? So in Georgia, there was a story, I think it's in Sparta, Georgia, and they have the sheriff rolling up on black folks, coming to their houses to challenge their right to vote. So in what newspaper is this? This is in the New York Times. And in the New York Times, they say that when a deputy sheriff, when the deputy sheriff's patrol cruiser pulls up beside him as he walked down Broad Street at sunset late August, Marty Flurney, a 32-year-old black man, was both confused and rattled. He had reason. In this corner of rural Georgia, African-Americans are arrested at a rate far higher than that of whites. But the deputy had not come to arrest Mr. Flurney. Rather, he had come to challenge Mr. Flurney's right to vote. The majority white Hancock County Board of Elections and Registration was systematically questioning the registrations of more than 180 black Sparta citizens, a fifth of the city's registered voters, by dispatching deputies with summonses commanding them to appear in person to prove their residence or lose their voting rights. When I read that letter, I was kind of nervous. Mr. Florney said in an interview, I didn't know what to do. The board's aim, a lawsuit later claimed, was to give an edge to white candidates in Sparta's municipal elections in that November, a white mayoral candidate won a narrow victory. See, this is why when I see stories like Ass Hat of the Week last week, Bow Wow, and when I hear people like Nick Cannon talking that shit about he's not voting until Black Lives finally matter, but what, dude, you're doing exactly what the fuck they want you to do. It's not exactly the brightest or smartest thing in the world to say, you know what, I'm not voting, my vote doesn't count. If your vote didn't count, if it didn't count, they wouldn't be trying so fucking hard to take it away from you. And I need so many more of you. I need folks to understand that. I really do. Educate yourself on the candidates, on the issues that are important to you. And by all means, take your ass to those polls, because voting is one aspect, but it is an important aspect. And to see so many people just kind of like willingly, like just pushing it off to the side, man, in a time where the powers that be that don't want you to have any voice in the electoral process whatsoever are finding ways to take that away from you. So yeah, man, voting rights being challenged in North Carolina, voting rights being challenged in Georgia, and I'm pretty sure it's happening in a lot of other places as well, man. But yeah, we gotta be vigilant. My tongue is getting twisted up in here. Real talk, my tongue is getting twisted. But all of that kind of leads me up to this here, right? So for those of you who have been paying attention to police misconduct or Black Lives Matter or say her, like the mantra of say her name, man, we've got this story coming out of Baltimore County, Maryland, where Corinne Gaines was gunned down by the police in her apartment, right? And one of the things that has been like kind of like fucking with me is how willing so many dudes, so many black dudes have been ready to kind of toss his sister to the side, right? Now, the first time I heard about this story, I saw a video of her doing a traffic stop. It was a 20-minute video of her doing a traffic stop, right? And in this traffic stop, Corinne Gaines, you know, she speaks on, you know, the authority of the police, that the police have, you know, she doesn't participate in the laws of this country, that she doesn't have to produce any driver's license, that she doesn't have to have any registration on her car or anything like that. That she's a free traveler. She can travel freely. And any obstruction of that by the police was violating her sovereign rights, right? People are talking about she may have been a sovereign citizen and whatnot. And I can see where that comes from, considering the rhetoric that, you know, that she was espousing in that video. And she was belligerent in that video. She was agitated in that video. She was indignant in that video. She was not being compliant with the police in that video. And I don't agree with anything that she did in that video, right? That's not the way that I would have handled that situation, right? But the thing that I find interesting is how we're using that video, how a lot of folks are using that video to justify what happened to her in her home earlier this week. And the thing that bothers me about it the most is, again, how many black men are making an effort or going out of their way to say what happened to that sister was deserved, right? There's a lot of folks who are saying that, like, yo, she endangered the life of her son, man. Fuck that bitch. I've heard this. Niggas saying, fuck that bitch. Like, she endangered the life of her kid, man. And just off that alone, man, like, fuck her. Like, she could have left with old boy. Old boy, a hero. Old boy got the other kid out of there. Old boy, he's a hero. And I'm thinking, like, yo, this nigga left his woman in the house by herself to defend against the police. I've watched dudes make an effort to say that her boyfriend was a hero because he left with another child while leaving that woman and another child in a home fending for themselves against the police. And it's some cowardly shit to me. Real talk, to watch so many dudes be vehement in speaking on the life of a sister and how she deserved what the state did to her. Especially niggas who claim that they don't really necessarily fuck with the state. Right? I've seen a lot of rah-rah niggas talk about fuck the police and all of that, man. When it came to Eric Garner, when it came to Philando Castile, when it came to Tamir Rice, when it came to so many others, man. So many others. Walter Scott, Oscar Grant. Like, so many examples of the police taking us out. And a lot of dudes rightfully being upset at what happened to those brothers in those instances. And then they also get upset when these guys are all like, after their death, they're being posthumously tried by the court of public opinion, right? So when, say for instance, a Mike Brown is killed, we get word that, you know, well, it was a strong arm robbery. Or that if Trayvon Martin gets killed by George Zimmerman, well, Trayvon Martin smoked weed. And he wasn't this little kid that y'all saw in these pictures. Or when Eric Garner is choked out on video, we hear about his arrest record. Or when Alton Sterling is gunned down, we hear about his conviction for statutory rape. Like, and so many dudes get upset listening to these stories, man. They be like, man, fuck that. What they got to do with what happened to him in that moment, right? What that got to do with him in that moment? What does all of this other shit that y'all talking about have to do with what happened to him when they killed him right there, right? And suddenly, a black woman gets killed by the police in her home, and these same niggas are saying she deserved it because of an incident that happened a couple months ago. And they use that to say, well, yeah, see, this is why she deserved what happened to her. All she had to do was comply. Like, these niggas all of a sudden become cheerleaders for the state. Cheerleaders for the state. When it comes to a black woman asserting what she believes are her rights, right? Real cowardly. Real cowardly. And it kind of made me think of this.
The most disrespected person in America is the black woman. The most unprotected person in America is the black woman. The most neglected person in America is the black woman. And as Muslims, the honorable...
Now, hold on. Let's listen to that again.
The most disrespected person in America is the black woman. The most unprotected person in America is the black woman. The most neglected person in America is the black woman.
Now, you can understand why a lot of sisters can be upset in the fact that when something happens to them at the hands of the state and inept niggas who can't do anything and are powerless start throwing them under the bus to say that, well, what happened to you, you got because you deserved it, because we couldn't do anything. Right? Now, I know there's a lot of dudes who would listen to me say that. They'd be like, oh, nigga, this nigga span tripping, man. This feminegro ass nigga, man. This feminist ass nigga, man. This nigga always taking up for these women, man. This nigga on some bullshit, man. Somebody done took his nuts away from him. It was like, nah, somebody done took your nuts away from you, nigga, because you gonna stand up for your women for shit. You can't protect your women from shit. They done emasculated your ass. It's funny how, like, when sisters get up and they talk, you know, like, when something happens to us, when something happens to us, there's no equivocating. There is no hesitation to stand up on what they believe is right in regards to us. They don't waver. They don't pussyfoot around the shit. They go in. Meanwhile, a lot of niggas opt the fuck out because we can. Right? It's not affecting me, man. So she got what she deserved, man. All she had to do was sit her ass down, man. She talked too much, man. All she had to do was shut the fuck up and let the process play out, man. She'd be at home right now with a kid, man. You know, fuck that bitch, man. She got her kid involved in some bullshit, man. She had the kid in a shootout with the police, man. That's all her fault, man. Like, I heard a lot of that shit this week, right? Heard a lot of that shit this week. And outside of the disappointment that I get from watching niggas go about the business of just like tossing a sister under the bus, is how often they were willing to just flat out disregard certain facts in the story because they agreed with what happened to her, right? So we gonna forget that the police showed up at her home with an arrest warrant for a traffic violation. Traffic violation. The police show up at your house with an arrest warrant for a traffic violation. That's one. We're going to ignore, despite everybody's like, and here's another thing too I found was funny. Like, most of the people that I heard had objections to what Corinne Gaines was doing was the fact that her son was there, right? Her son was there, man. She put that little dude in danger, man. Fuck her as a mother. She should know better and all this other shit. But you know what? Who else? You know who also have a responsibility to that young man, that little boy, and his safety? The police officers who were outside his door with guns trained on that apartment at his mother. They also had a responsibility to his mom. Not only to him, to his mom, but to him. To see that he got out of that situation safely. Right? Now, it's interesting how we forget that despite that she was armed, that she didn't fire her weapon until she was fired upon. That the police felt that despite the fact that she was in a home with a child, that they would fire upon her first. Right? They've admitted to this. They've admitted to this. The police fired upon her first. And meanwhile, niggas are saying, well, all she had to do was comply. All she had to do was comply. And it's a cowardice amongst dudes, man. A cowardice amongst dudes. Because they know they can't do shit. They can't do shit. There's a lot of black dudes who are walking around right now feeling very fucking impotent. Very impotent in the fact that they can't protect their women. Right? And that's one of the like the tenets of manhood, right? One of the big time tenets of manhood is we supposed to protect our women and children. And yet here it is, a woman who had a man in the house who decided to leave her in the house with her child. And these impotent niggas walk around talking about, well, that guy was a hero. It wasn't lost on me that that dude left that woman and that child in that home to defend herself and that child against the police. Wasn't lost on me that he left her there. And I know a lot of dudes like, man, he got the fuck about it. That was a smart thing to do. That was a smart thing to do. Yeah. Yeah. Kind of cowardice too. Now, the thing about this is, the thing that's trippy about this entire thing is that, like, yo, I don't agree with the rhetoric that Corinne Gaines was speaking about, right? I don't agree at all with any of the shit that she was talking about. But that doesn't mean she had to die because she believed in what she believed in, right? You can be against her dying at the hands of the state in the way in which she did, and not agree with the way in which she carried the shit out. See, that requires thought, though. That requires actually looking at the shit and thinking about how this is playing out. And a lot of you niggas ain't really willing to think about shit. Especially because you don't necessarily care and you can opt the fuck out. Because it's not necessarily affecting you. right? Which is why so many sisters upset when they do speak out on behalf of black men countless times, in times just like this. Just like this. And one of the things that like seems to get forgotten, even amongst some of our own, is we've seen countless instances of standoffs where white folks are treated humanely during these standoffs, right? So, hold on, let me see if I can pull this up. And my computer is dragging. It is dragging right now. I got way too much going on here. Come on, man. Come on, come on, come on. Okay. While that's doing that thing, I'll just kind of set this up. We've seen countless times where white Americans are able to walk away from situations where they're in a standoff with the police, right? One of those situations just so happened to be the standoff in Nevada with Clive and Bundy, right? Now, Clive and Bundy was in a standoff with the police, I believe it was with the Bureau of Land Management, I'm sorry, BLM, ironically. And they were seizing his cattle because his cattle was feeding on government land, right? And he wasn't paying any grazing fees on it. This dude has been letting his cattle feed on this land for 20 plus years, hasn't paid any money to the government. It's government owned land. And they seized his shit. They're like, yo, you got to pay us to have these animals over here feeding on our land, right? This is what happened. This is what happened with Clive and Bundy. When he decided, yo, I'm not going to tolerate this. I'm going to take up arms against the federal fucking government, and I'm going to get my cattle back. Check this out.
What a day in the great state of Nevada. Guns drawn as one rancher is taking on the federal government over land. I'm Harris Faulkner. At this hour, what appears to be a bit of a break and what has been tense hours all day long on this Saturday of a standoff there. The Bureau of Land Management is now saying it will back off, citing safety concerns for the public and the protesters. Earlier, protesters went along the interstate trying to get the cattle back. Heavily armed federal agents on one side of this thing, a rancher and hundreds of his supporters on the other. And this brand new video just coming in moments ago showing the cows that were taken off the land are now being released back to rancher Cliven Bundy. That's his name, the man at the center of it all. This all began about a week ago. Agents from land management began rounding up cattle owned by that rancher Bundy. Bundy says the animals have been grazing on that land since the 19th century. The federal agency says it's public land and the cattle have to go. William Lajeunesse joins us now from Bunkerville, Nevada, with the very latest. And William, Cliven Bundy, finally getting what he wants, at least for now.
Well, the federal government has entirely backed down, Harris. They have removed some 250 armed agents and hired hands, and as you said moments ago, releasing 200 to 400 cattle, head of cattle that belong to the family.
I am so happy I get to open the gates. I get to open the gates and let our babies out, our calves. They get to go back home. They get to go home to the river.
The BLM had seized Bundy's cattle over the last 7 days using helicopters and hired cowboys to round them up on 1,500 acres. They say this land is off limits to cattle, reserved for the desert tortoise, that he's been here illegally for 20 years and ignored two court orders and refused to pay. But early this morning, 9 o'clock, BLM said it was backing off, giving up, going home. Initially, however, they refused to give up the cattle, which prompted this. 200 to 300 protesters shutting down I-15, openly carrying their firearms, both long rifles as well as sidearms. Then in a standoff of police and SWAT, maybe 36, they actually rushed the BLM gate, but were turned back, then a break, and they negotiated the release of those cattle. Harris?
William, for a while there, we were watching so closely. You're reporting.
All right. Now, here we have a few We'll say tens. Tens of people with firearms, long rifles, and sidearms, standing off with the federal government, and the federal government backed down. And not only walked away, but gave the man his cattle back. Right? And they said they did it for the safety of everybody involved. Right? Not only that, not one shot was fired. Not one shot was fired, despite the fact that we had one dude with his firearm trained, a sniper, trained on federal agents. Check this out.
My name's Eric. We came down from Idaho.
Are you part of one of the militia groups?
No, just independent.
Just independent down here?
From just a county civil defense unit.
Okay. What does this mean? What does this victory for the Bundys mean, do you think?
I think it means a lot, but it needs to keep happening. We need to keep matching show of force. There's a rancher in Texas right now under threat from the BLM. 90,000 acres on the Red River they're trying to take from him right now. You know, if you're in Texas, go there. Get on a bridge. Show him force.
It is big that he can
work. It did work.
Do you think we saw some younger people down there? Looked like they might have been children. Do you think that was wise to have those kids down there? Do you think this could have turned dangerous?
The only thing that kept them from getting gassed. They threatened to shoot chemicals into that crowd.
Do you think that it was good to have the kids down there then?
Absolutely.
Do you think it was dangerous? Do you think this could have potentially turned violent?
Absolutely.
All right. Now, interesting. There were children in that crowd as well. Interesting. The police decided, the BLM decided that they were going to back down and not fire a shot, not fire any gas into that crowd. There were children in that crowd. And yet, Corinne Gaines at home with her child against the police doesn't necessarily get that same sort of courtesy, so to speak, right? That same sort of care, so to speak. That same sort of consideration. Doesn't get that. They fire a shot into her home with her and her child there, and niggas is mad at her and not the police, right? Real interesting how that shit plays out, man. Real interesting. You know, there was another story too, man. Another story. Hold on, let me see if I can pull this up. Because I had it in my pocket. Where's pocket? Come on, load up pocket. Let's see. Where is it? Come on. All right. And I don't have it. Hold on a second. Let me see if I can pull this up here. Because somebody actually put this on my Facebook today. As a matter of fact. So let me see if I can pull this up real quick. Can we move a little quicker, Facebook? Jesus Christ. Okay. Now, there was a story coming out of, Norfolk County, Virginia. It was a 7-hour brigade barricade that happened on July 31st. So that was actually earlier in the week, where a young man, hold on, let me see if we, let's do this here. All right. There was a young man, and they don't have his name, but in this story, they talk about a section of Virginia Beach Boulevard was shut down for most of Sunday morning and early afternoon by a barricade situation that police said was resolved peacefully. A man who barricaded himself for more than 7 hours in a 900 block of Merrimack Avenue was taken to Centara Norfolk General Hospital for evaluation. Police have not said whether or not he was injured. Officer Joanne Hughes, a spokeswoman for the department, said a phone was brought to the man via a robot, right? Now think about this for a second. You guys remember what happened in Dallas a few weeks ago where, you know, the dumbass who went about the action of trying to shoot police officers and killed 5 police officers in Dallas. Now, I'm not agreeing with anything that he did, but I do believe that there were other ways in which that situation could have been handled, right? They didn't send a robot to him with a phone. They didn't send a robot in there with him to incapacitate him. They didn't send a robot in there to stun him. They sent the robot in there with him with a fucking bomb. And blew his ass up, right? The police in Dallas sent the bomb with their robot. the police in Norfolk, Virginia, with this man, sent a telephone, right, so that they can communicate with him. Also, they say the man was not been identified by authorities. Police did not say whether he will face charges. Police arrived at Merrimack Avenue after a call about an armed and suicidal person shortly before 7 a.m. The man fired his gun when they arrived, but no officers were injured. Now, let me get this straight. This motherfucker fires his gun as soon as the police roll the fuck up, and they still manage to bring his ass out alive and take him to a hospital and still are mulling over whether or not he's going to have charges charged against him or not. And you bitch made niggas are sitting here talking about how much this woman deserved what happened to her. I'm calling you bitch made. Every last one of you niggas. Bitch made. East Virginia Beach Boulevard from Ballantyne Boulevard to Norchester Avenue was closed during the incident. Neighboring streets were shut down as well. Now, they have a picture of this man as they're taking him into custody. I'm going to share this picture with you guys because this isn't a, like, you don't have to guess what this dude looks like. Let me see if I can blow this up. Let's see if I can make this picture bigger. And I don't think I can. But you, if you guys are watching this show live right now, you can see this, the guy in custody. It's a white dude. They haven't given his name. But this happened July 31st. He had a 7-hour barricade standoff with the police. He fired upon the police on their arrival, and they still managed to bring his ass out, and they still managed to have him in custody and take him to a hospital. Meanwhile, Corinne Gaines is shot at the police. I'm sorry, the police shot her. The police shot her first. Shot at her first, despite her son being in that apartment with her. And you got a bunch of ashy, bitch-made ass niggas talking about how much she deserved what happened to her because they disagree with how she acted. I told you guys a couple of weeks ago, man, your respectability won't fucking save you. Charles Kenny got shot in North Miami by the police and he had his hands up and he was laying on the goddamn ground. We just saw that last week. So for you bitch-made niggas to go out of your fucking way, to go to disparage this sister, to throw this sister's name through the mud because you don't agree with her philosophy on life and how she purported herself, man, fuck you. Fuck you. Y'all some weak bitch made ass niggas. Real talk. So I have very, very, very little patience for that line of thinking, man. We have been shown time and time again that the police treat us differently. Time and again, we have been shown that the police treat us differently when it comes to lethal force. And instead of saying she got what was coming to her, instead of saying, well, what could she have expected? What was she expecting? You know, like, we know that the police is coming after us. Why are we going to act like that? Like, yo, they coming after us whether we act like that or not. That doesn't make what the fuck they did all right. And if you are resigning yourself to thinking that what they did was all right, then you might as well go ahead and let them shoot your dumb ass too for whatever the fuck they want to. For whatever they want to, let them do that to you too. Especially if you feel like this woman deserved what happened to her because the police showed up at her home and she had the audacity to have a shotgun. Now, another thing too that I find very interesting, man, is that the fact that there was a her social media was cut. She was broadcasting live on Facebook. She was broadcasting live on Instagram. And the police went about the actions of trying to shut down her live feed. Now, in a time where the police have very little cachet with the public, especially with the African-American public, in a time where we're asking for accountability, at a time where we're asking for transparency, why in the fuck would you guys decide that, yo, we need to cut this shit down? We need to get this taken care of. We need to make sure that she can't broadcast what happens so that we can then frame the story. Because she can't tell her side anymore. We get it from their side and their side only. We can frame this story however we want to, with her videos being shut down or with her social media being shut down during this instance. It's sickening, sickening to watch so many niggas go out of their way to throw dirt on this sister's name. Now, again, I will say, I don't agree with what she did. That doesn't mean she had to die. When we see instances like this, like what happened with Cliven Bundy, what happened with Cliven Bundy's son when he decided that he was going to take a few people up to an Oregon ranch or Oregon National Park and decided he was going to take that bitch over for a couple weeks. It got so good to the Bundys that they did the shit twice. Meanwhile, we got ashy bitch made niggas sitting around talking about how this sister deserved what happened to her and she's in a fucking house with her son. Fuck you niggas, man. Fuck you niggas. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about your kids. Y'all talking to her about, or y'all talking about her like she didn't give a fuck about her kid. There's an equal level of responsibility here. Those police also knew that she had a 5-year-old in the home with her when they decided to fire shots. That 5-year-old has fragments in his face. That 5-year-old also got shot in the elbow. And they're trying to tell us they don't know who shot him. Meanwhile, ashy niggas are saying, yo, man, fuck that bitch. Nah, man, fuck y'all. Fuck y'all. It's just amazing, man. It's amazing to watch niggas go through the mental gymnastics and to watch niggas go out of their way to act as if what's happening is all right. That we have to have this perfect person have something happen to them in order for us to say, yo, what the police are doing to black folks is wrong. You got niggas who say, yeah, the police need reform. Yeah, the police need to have some accountability, and then go and say that, yo, she deserved what happened to her. Man, what the fuck is wrong with y'all? What the hell are y'all thinking about? We have seen time and time again where these sort of actions don't have to be taken. And yet with black folks, those actions are accelerated. Where a white dude in Norfolk County can have a 7-hour standoff with the police armed. He shoots at them when they show up. And he still walks out of that motherfucking building alive. Where a white family in Nevada can take arms up against the federal government. Have snipers trained on federal agents and still walk away from that shit fucking alive. Where we can have a family take over national park land with firearms and still walk away from that shit alive. And you got a bunch of bitch made ass niggas sitting up here talking about why these women deserve what happened to them. Fuck you niggas, man. Fuck y'all. Yeah. So, like I said, man, when it comes to Corinne Gaines, man, rest in peace to that young lady. I may not have necessarily agreed with Corinne Gaines and her philosophies on life and her politics and how she went about a whole lot of shit, but that doesn't necessarily mean that Corinne Gaines deserved to die for what she believed in and how she went about that. That does not mean that she had to die. And for all of you bitch-made, ashy motherfuckers who are co-signing the state, for what happened to her. It is what it is, man. Y'all know where y'all stand with me on this. I'll just put that there. Y'all know where y'all stand with me with this. Coward motherfuckers. But yeah, man. It's time for another segment. And we got our ass out of the week this week, man. Uh-oh. Wrong one. Shit. Where is it?
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
All right. And this week, our ass hat of the week is none other than Katrina Pearson. Now, for those of you who are familiar with Katrina Pearson is one of Donald Trump's national surrogates. She goes on television every week or every day, and she speaks on behalf of that campaign. And Katrina Pearson actually tried to blame President Barack Obama for the death of Kamir Khan's son, who was actually a captain in the United States Army, I believe. His name was Humayun Khan, and he died in 2004 at the start of the Iraq War. Now, Katrina Pearson, she went on the Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer, and she had this to say to Wolf Blitzer. So let me pull this up for you guys so you guys can check this out. Also, where are we? Let's do this here.
You didn't have to go back and forth and respond to all of the statements made by the
But surely you can understand the confusion, considering how Donald Trump never voted for the Iraq war. Hillary Clinton did. And then she didn't support the troops to have what they need. It was under Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton that changed the rules of engagements that probably cost his life. So I don't understand why it's so hard to understand why Donald Trump was confused about why he was being held responsible for something he had nothing to do with.
All right. Now, the interesting thing about that is that she decided that she was going to hold Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama responsible for what happened to Humayun Khan when it came to his death, when Barack Obama was not even a senator in the United States Senate yet. Hillary Clinton was a senator. She voted for that war. But President Barack Obama was the president of the United States in 2004. It wasn't Barack Obama. It wasn't Hillary Clinton. She went out of her way to shift the blame on Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. Now, the thing that's going on here is nobody blamed Donald Trump. No one blamed Donald Trump for what happened to him. But everybody is blaming Donald Trump for his rhetoric against Islam, which he conveniently tends to forget. But she had an opportunity to redeem herself. And she went on CNN again, and they kind of checked her on what she said the time before. So let's watch what she says here.
Hey, Katrina, we want to give you an opportunity to clarify something that you said on CNN yesterday. You seem to be blaming President Obama and Secretary of State then, Hillary Clinton, for Captain Humayun Khan's death. You had said it was under Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton that changed the rules of engagement that probably cost his life. And, of course, he was killed in 2004. That was when President George W. Bush was president. Last night, Captain Khan's father, Kazir Khan, responded to your comments. Let us play those for you.
Do I need to say anything? Lack of understanding, lack of factual correctness. I would again appeal to his surrogates that please show some decency. Refrain from what you attempted out of anger and out of this ugly partisanness.
Katrina, do you want to apologize to Mr. Khan?
Apologize for the timeline. What I was talking about is the fact that Donald Trump has no connection to anything having to do with Captain Khan, who was a brave war hero. The timeline is very simple and true, Allison. Hillary Clinton voted for the war in Iraq. She did not support the surge. Barack Obama made things worse by invading more countries than President Bush did. They did change the rules of engagement and got tens of thousands of soldiers that were killed.
Uh-huh. But he was killed in 2004 when George W. Bush was president.
Allison, may I chime in, please?
But Donald Trump wasn't there. That is the only point. That is the only point. Donald Trump is being blamed for something he had nothing to do with.
But,
and he did not attack this
right,
family.
You were blaming
he just
President
simply
Obama.
Said, I had nothing
words,
to do with
Katrina,
it.
Katrina, the words that you use probably cost his life. President Obama and Hillary Clinton changed the rules of engagement that probably cost his life. You do acknowledge now that there you were just wrong.
Well, absolutely. That's why I use probably, because I was just going through the timeline, because since then, we have had tens of thousands of soldiers that have been lost, 1 million wounded, $6 trillion later. How can we possibly put any of the onus on Donald Trump? It is absolutely absurd, and that's why you see all this confusion surrounding this issue, because Donald Trump had absolutely nothing to do
but
with
it. No
this.
One was blaming Donald Trump for Captain Khan's death. You were blaming President Obama, and he wasn't president yet.
No, I was talking about Hillary Clinton specifically voting for the war, and that was during that time period.
You said change rules of engagement that cost his life. That's what you specifically said.
In the chronological
said.
Order, absolutely.
Allison and John, if I may, just briefly. This is the type of fact-free environment that we're living in. Not only do people fail to realize, or Katrina fails to realize, or just fails to articulate, that Donald Trump actually supported the Iraq war before he was against it. And to actually blame a sitting state senator in Illinois for changing the rules of engagement in 2004 and causing the death of this great war hero is the height of irresponsibility. But further, you get deep down to the bones of the Trump campaign, and the fact that Katrina Pearson won't even apologize this morning is indicative not just of her, but it's indicative of the top of this campaign. It's exactly what Captain Khan's father was talking about. It's about decency and respect. And until we can get back to that playing field, all else is moot.
Katrina.
All right, so here we have an instance where not only was this person wrong, but they refused to even acknowledge whether or not they were wrong. And it was like completely fucking obvious how wrong this person was. So because Katrina Pearson, not only blamed those who were not involved in the death of Captain Khan, but didn't even have the decency to like apologize for what the hell she did and just say, yo, man, I fucked up. Yeah. Katrina Pearson is the asshat of the week here at Despair Report, man. Real talk. But, we do have a champ.
The champ is here! 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 The champ is here!
All right, now our champs this week, we have actually a couple of champs this week. Our champs this week are the dude that punched George Zimmerman in his fucking face for bragging about punching, killing Trayvon Martin, and the dude who put the beat down to Dylann Roof while in prison, right? So we're going to acknowledge the first champ with the dude who punched George Zimmerman in the face. Check this out. Ah, this cheesy-ass music,
George
though.
Zimmerman had another confrontation where he had to call Seminole County deputies for help. Investigative reporter Carla Ray is the first reporter to break the details in this latest case. And Carla, he's considered the victim this time.
Yeah, he called 911 over the weekend after a man punched him square in the face at a bar so hard it broke his glasses. But witnesses told deputies Zimmerman had it coming.
What started the argument?
He recognized me.
Inside this local bar and grill right on the St. John's River in Sanford, investigators say the infamous George Zimmerman is accused of attracting trouble again.
He told me he was going to kill me. He told me he'd shoot me. He punched me in the face.
Only Eyewitness News obtained Zimmerman's latest desperate call to 911, asking for help from inside Gators Riverside over the weekend. According to this report, Zimmerman claimed he was explaining to people sitting at a table that he shot Trayvon Martin in self-defense when a large man approached and asked, quote, "You're bragging about that?" before punching him square in the face.
This man just punched me in the face.
Okay, is he still there?
Yep. He said he's going to kill me.
Does he have any weapon?
He needs to send like 3 or 4 cops.
Zimmerman is considered the victim in this case, but witnesses told deputies the problem started because he was bragging about killing the unarmed teen in 2012, claiming he said, quote, "I love your tattoos. My name is George Zimmerman. You know, that guy who killed Trayvon Martin," and even showing his identification card. It's not the first time his acquittal has made him a target. Just over a year ago, Matthew Apperson was arrested and accused of trying to kill Zimmerman during a road rage incident.
The guy punched me in the face and called me a lover.
Now, the man who threw that punch allegedly in this case could face charges, but he hasn't been identified yet. We will, of course, keep you posted.
All right. So kudos to him for knocking the fuck out of George Zimmerman. I've been waiting for somebody to do it. Somebody finally did it, right? Somebody finally did it. So he's a champ this week. But also, we got another champ this week.
Deputies in Charleston, South Carolina say a fellow inmate assaulted the suspect in the deadly Charleston church shooting. Charleston County officials say the assault on Dylan Roof happened outside his cell this morning. Deputies say the other inmate used his hands, no other weapons, and that the 22-year-old Roof was examined by jail medical personnel and then returned to his cell. The other inmate faces assault charges.
All right, so here's the thing, right? Not only was the person, I forget, they identified that guy, but I don't have his name in front of me right now, right? But not only did they identify, did this dude beat the brakes off of Dylan Roof, but like folks found out who he was and started putting money on his books. because he did something for the culture, right? Like he went ahead and he did what a whole hell of a lot of folks wanted to do. And I applaud that. I really do. I applaud what happened to Dylan Roof because he did deserve that shit, right? He did deserve that. But I got something for y'all, man. I do. I got something for y'all. We here at the Span Report have obtained exclusive footage of what happened to Dylan Roof in that, in that shower in the jailhouse, right? So what we're going to do right here, right now, is I'm going to show you guys the exclusive footage of Dylan Roof getting the brakes beat off of him. And why in the fuck is it not already up here? I swear I already had this up here. Uh-oh. All right. God damn it. All right. So I'm going to show you guys this exclusive footage of Dylan Roof getting the brakes beat off his ass in prison. Check this out. God damn it. All right. So, yeah, man, that's what happened. That's what happened. Old boy put the beat down to Dylan Roof in the prison walls, man. He took it to him. And, yeah, man, exclusive footage of Dylan Roof getting his ass whooped behind bars, man. Real talk, man. Old boy put them hands to Dylan Roof, man. Real talk. But it's almost time for us to get out of here. But before I do, man, I want to give some shout outs to those who went to the Span Report on Stitcher and on iTunes to leave us a 5-star review, man. It's been a minute since we got any 5-star reviews. And so I want to give these folks a shout out and thank them for what they did for us here at the Span Report. And I want to give a shout out to the homie who is this Rude Boy M, man. Rude Boy M writes in on Stitcher from Chi-Town, but now in the D. five-star podcast, dope podcast. Span has been the dude since giving them shout-outs on Mr. Gates' podcast. He's been keeping it real and on point with 99% of all topics. Sorry for the late review, but keep it going, Mr. Span. And I appreciate you, Rude Boy M, for that five-star review, brother. Real talk, man. Appreciate you, and it helps the show grow. And everybody who does that to leave those five-star reviews helps the show grow, man, and I appreciate that immensely. Another person who went about the action of giving us a five-star review is Amber. Amber P. from over at the Black Chick Watching and Black Sexy Geeky and Mental podcast. Yeah, I think I got that right. Amber writes in a five-star review, says, Span is the man, smart and insightful. Five-star review. Thank you so much, Amber P. Appreciate you. And yeah, man, that's all it takes. That's all it takes. 1 second. Leave a five-star review over at iTunes or over at Stitcher. There's no way to do it over on Google Play. But, you know, hopefully they get this shit popping, right? But it's time for me to get out of here, right? But before I do, of course, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me again here at the Span Report Podcast. Let your voice be heard, man. Hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. I'll play those here on the show and respond to you here on the show as well. Hit me up on the email. The email is feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave those emails. I'll read them here on the show and respond in kind. You can also hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead and follow me there, and we can chop it up throughout the week there. You can also like the Mr. Span fan page. This is where I do the show live right here on Facebook. You can watch these shows live as they happen on Facebook. Go ahead and like that fan page, get notified. You can watch it on the tablet that you have. You can watch it on the phone that you have. You can also you can also watch this on your computer or whatever you are. Really, like, you could watch this pretty much wherever we're doing this on Facebook Live. So go ahead on Facebook, like the Mr. Span fan page, and check out the shows live as we do them. And also, hit me up on the website. Go to the website, www.thespanreport.com. On the website, you can vote in the polls. You can leave comments. You can watch all of the videos associated with the podcast. You can listen to every episode of the podcast. Everything Span Report related is available at thespanreport.com. You can also donate to the show. Donate to the show. Help keep this ball rolling. Whatever you want to give, how often you want to give, is very much appreciated here at the Span Report as well, man. And for those of you who want to let everybody know how much you mess with the Span Report, man, go ahead and cop yourself an official Span Report podcast t-shirt, man. Go to www.teespring.com/the Span Report. Those t-shirts are available in varying different colors. And this campaign is going on until August the 12th. So go ahead and order yourself a SpanReport.com t-shirt, a Span Report podcast t-shirt, and let everybody know that you're rocking with us over here at the Span Report, man. It's very much appreciated for everybody who goes over there and cops themselves one of those shirts, man. But yeah, man, it's time for me to get out of here, man. So go to thespanreport.com, subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and everything else. Wherever you get your podcast, man, we're available there. And I'll talk to you guys again soon, man. It'll be a couple weeks next time I do the show, because again, like I said, next week we'll be out of town. But until next time, fam, peace.